Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me tomorrow, Friday, to get in on the action. Be going live at 12:30. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, May 6th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker, here with Cody Perkle. It is Perkle, yes.
Yes, it is Perkle.
Perkle, sweet. All right, Cody's back. It's been too long since we had Cody last time, but we're connecting on this just treacherous start from the 2021 Minnesota Twins. And part of why I wanted to have Cody on today is he offers a different perspective of this team, I think, because, you know, at times I think as a fan, I buy into the tea leaves, you know, like I buy into the potential more so than maybe seeing, you know, the legitimacy of the roster. But Cody, did you consider this start, and be honest with me tonight, did you consider this start on April 1st?
Did I consider it on April 1st? No, I don't think I did. You know, I was as optimistic as anyone coming into the year, I think. Maybe it's a fault of mine, but I'm kind of more quick to turn the page the other way. But I was certainly as optimistic as everyone else was coming into the year, at least. I mean,
I think there was reason to be, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe that took its first hit on the very first game when we blew that game in Milwaukee. Maybe that was the very first chip off the block where I started to turn around the other way. But before that, I was feeling really good, you know?
I don't know. I don't know if you heard it, but I compared this to like when you burn your hand on a grill or like an oven over and over and over again, and then you just like lose that feeling. That's what it's been like. But unfortunately, it burns the same every time these days. I think so much of that burn, and like also I love your perspective on the rest of the division too, because I think you've been dialed in to like what the White Sox have done and everyone else. But it burns for me too, and you can probably relate to this. I want to get your thoughts because I feel like this division isn't that good this year.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been watching the White Sox and stuff like in particular, and just as they start to turn things around with like Dylan Cease and who's the lefty?
Rodon.
Rodon. I mean, they're turning it around and boom, they lose Eloy Jimenez. Boom, they lose Luis Robert. I mean, that is just like heartbreaking to watch that happen just for baseball, but then as a Twins fan, it's heartbreaking to watch that happen because that's just straight opportunity, and the Twins are just they're just flushing it down the toilet. It's a bummer.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a bad thing, and I, again, this is like my tendency. I tend to say, "Ooh, that might be a good thing too," right? Like at least I think for the long haul, there's not a team that I feel, and I could be dead wrong about the Sox. Like maybe their rotation will carry them throughout this year. But in my humble opinion, I don't think anyone in this division looks like a 90 to 95 winner right now, a 95 game winner. Like to me, at least, it doesn't seem that way. Is that a reason for optimism, you think, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I think the White Sox are maybe like a rotation injury away from like being pretty bad. But I mean, still at the same time, you can look at it as a reason for optimism, but I guess I've kind of gotten to the point now where I've stopped like rooting for other teams' losses, and I've more just focused on the Twins winning. And I guess I just haven't felt so good about that lately for me to be optimistic about it.
Well, let's talk about that game today. Twins lose again. You could feel this one coming. It's almost like you can feel it the day before and you look ahead and you're like, well, doesn't look good tomorrow. But this is just a putrid series. They lose 3 out of 4. They lose Alex Kirilloff to a wrist injury. Sounds like it's, you know, we're going to wait to hear after he sees the specialist in Detroit, but didn't sound great. They lose Byron Buxton today. They lose Luis Arraez to a concussion in the opener. Just all around disaster in this entire series. It was a get right spot for them, but out of those three, I mean, obviously the Buxton one sticks out, and we'll wait to hear. You know, it's a hip strain, it sounds like, right now. But Cody, unfortunately, that pushes Jake Cave to center. And honestly, like, they need to start. I think this is the point, too, where you start to say, like, oh, we'd prefer Max Kepler doesn't play center. It's like, I don't think you have that luxury. I think Max Kepler needs to play center, like, and you need to try to get some offense in there. But, I mean, I think this does come back, and it's been discussed. I know you've discussed it too, but it comes back to Polanco. It comes back to Kepler. It comes back to Sano, the heart and the blood of that 2019 team, along with Nelly. You know, where's the blame here in your eyes? Was it the offseason? Do you think they overlooked the chance that this would happen, that these guys would continue to be bad into 2021 and they didn't, you know, make up for that? Like, what's your stance on that in retrospect to the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I was as critical as anyone of, like, the way the Twins looked last year. I think a lot of people were. I know you've talked a lot about how it looked like they were just kind of sleepwalking. But, I mean, all that at the same time, I did have some empathy for, like, what they were going through last year, the travel that they had to do, sticking in their hotel rooms, having to worry about their own safety. Like, I guess in terms of, like, the hitters, the Keplers, the Polancos, the Sanos, I find it really hard to blame the front office for not planning on them being just as bad, if not worse, this year, just because they were probably thinking the same thing. I mean, hey, we're returning back to normal here. That was a weird 60-game season. This was not an ideal situation for any of these guys. They got to come back this year, right? Well, I mean, at some point, it just falls back on them. It falls back on the players. I mean, I have my own issues with, like, the bullpen and stuff with with management and how they handled it. I mean, but in terms of the lineup, at some point, it's like, how could anyone have seen this just complete drop off across the board almost on these core players? It's hard to blame anyone but the players themselves, in my opinion.
I think in 2019, part of, and we rolled our eyes at it because, like you said, how could you imagine that these guys would fall off after 2019 the way that they have? Part of the Donaldson signing was making up for some of that expected regression, and this is not regression. Like, this is complete demise of these guys. And part of me, Cody, thinks, like, and these guys weren't moved, but part of me thinks they could have made, and this is totally hindsight because I'm praising them all offseason, and it's going to change my view of these next off seasons. How this season has gone so far, but like Trevor Story, Chris Bryant, like making a serious run at a star player, you know, and we've seen this year, Chris Bryant has been great. And Trevor Story's a phenomenal defender at short, like Andrelton Simmons, awesome defender there as a bat. He's not really a bat. You know what I mean? Like he's another one of those guys in the bottom of the lineup. Could they have done something like that? Like, is it fair to say that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely understood where they were coming from when they built this team this season. Like the value they got on that Andrelton Simmons signing was fantastic. Like you got to appreciate that. But also I agree. I think at some point they could have just said, hey, let's do this. I mean, you want to talk about those trades and the money that comes along with them. This is kind of what goes back to my biggest issue with the offseason. They had the prospect capital to pick up a Chris Bryant for the $18.9 million, whatever he's making, and say, hey, we'll give you an extra guy or two, knock some of that money off. You know, there were options to do that. I understood the salary part. I just never really understood the prospect capital that they didn't want to spend to kind of make that extra jump.
And it's just showing up now too, because you could have seen them potentially make that deal for Yu Darvish or make that deal for Joe Musgrove. Yeah. And you know, that doesn't solve any offensive woes, but you know what it does solve? The stinker you got from Shoemaker Saturday. it solves some of the rotation depth issues that we've seen early on with Kenta not looking the same. And he was pretty decent last time out. I think the numbers look better than the outing was. Jose kind of looks the same as he has the last 2 years, right? I mean, just inconsistency from inning to inning and start to start. They could have built value in the rotation too. And I remember you were talking about this with Jameson Taillon too. And I think I made a mistake just like turning a blind eye to that and trusting this front office. And this might just be something that we need to discuss. Like, is it time? And I think you've been here, but to look at what they've done, Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, I think it's time to start seeing some flaws in their offseason. I mean, I just don't think that it's not perfect. Like it's never going to be perfect, but I think it's looking back now, I think they left a lot on the table here, man. But is that your biggest gripe, the offseason? Like, is that something that you look back on regularly? Locker Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform, It's free to download and to use. You can talk to me, talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. I went live tonight with Matt Brown. You're listening to that episode right now. Locker Room is a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. You can talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time. It's a very easy-to-use platform. It's easy to download, and it's easy to join. All you need to do is download that Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Twins MLB group. Follow me at NashWalker9 and at Lockdown Twins to be notified when my room goes live. We'll be going live on Locker Room mostly on Wednesdays and next Wednesday for sure. Come with your spiciest takes. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest frustrating things for me was watching Akil Badu go, watching Tyler Wells go, not because the Twins should have kept them, but because they're losing quality prospects yearly now, probably from this point forward, if I'm not mistaken, on these upcoming Rule 5 pick candidates, they're going to be losing these guys for nothing coming up here. What are you holding onto them for? That's kind of my biggest issue at this point. Like, there's certainly value to be had, and there certainly was this winter on the trade market. And I mean, we came out on the other side in a year where we couldn't spend the money we wanted to spend. Also not making any trades. That is my biggest gripe. I just think that was kind of a tactic that was completely avoided for some reason. And I understand that it was weird with no minor league season last year. You don't know what you have. You don't want to give guys away for less than they're worth. But I mean, we were supposed to be talking about, you know, possibly being World Series contenders again this year. We certainly have the talent, the top end talent. I just wanted that extra push. I think there were guys controllable or on one-year rentals that could have been picked up.
You know what it feels like right now, Cody? It feels like we're Phillies fans. This team reminds me of the Phillies. You got Bryce Harper, you got Real Muto, you got Wheeler. You got a really nice group, like, at the top. Like you said, you got a lot of top-end talent. You got the Buxton, the Donaldson, Cruz, Kenta. You got top-end talent and no depth. There's no depth in the lineup.
Yeah.
Very little. I mean, Matt Shoemaker sporting an ERA above 7. Hap's been really good for them. But overall, not a lot of depth in this lineup. It feels like Cleveland has, like, we mocked Cleveland the last couple of years for the depth in their lineup of just, and now it's the same thing in Minnesota. It's like you got the top four that can really play or rise when he's healthy, Donaldson, Cruz, Buxton, and then at that point, not much below them. And I don't think it's as extreme as Cleveland was, but let's try to find a way, a path forward, Cody, because this will be a long summer if we just declare that this is a 50-win team, which I don't think that they
are. Yeah.
Trevor Larnach hits a home run tonight for the Saints, 458 feet, exit velo, 115 miles an hour. Twins top prospect, one of their top prospects, Trevor Larnach. I mean, they have bullets here. What would you do right now with Larnach, Cody? Like, is this desperate times, desperate measures? You lose Buxton. I don't know how long he's going to be out. Kirilloff's out. I mean, it's easy to say as a fan, just do it. But, like, is this one of those things where they need to be more aggressive?
Yeah, I think they might as well. We've been hearing that Larnach is just like a half step behind Kirilloff for a while now, and we're past that point where we're going to gain that extra year with him. So in my opinion, unless you're going to hold him out until the deadline next year where he gets an extra year, I think, I mean, what else? I mean, I understand with no season last year and everything in the minors, but does he really have that much more to prove in AAA when you have a team that's struggling offensively in the majors? You've got I mean, Kepler in right field, who can't hit lefties, which I think Larnach's done fine against lefties in the minors, if I'm not mistaken. So worst case scenario, he's up there filling in until Kirilov's back. And whenever, if everyone comes back, I mean, you kind of have the opposite of a problem at that point, assuming he's doing well and he's, you know, pulling his own weight, which I would imagine he will. I just think at this point, there's not really anything to lose unless they're really trying to get that extra year next year out of Larnach, which would be kind of aggressive, I guess I would call it, or lack thereof. I don't know.
So we got Detroit coming up here for three. Tarik Skubal, good prospect for Detroit, but has been really bad this year. It hasn't mattered for the Twins. You know, if you get an ERA above six, they'll shut down the Twins, but that's what we've seen all year. But Skubal, not good. Saturday is Jose Ureña, who they crushed in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And Sunday is Matt Boyd, who's actually been really good this year. But we've seen him in the past not be so good. I think I just continue to look and say, hey, here's another opportunity, right? Here's another opportunity this weekend. And that they've let these opportunities go so many times. But we're looking at it right now, Cody. Kyle Garlick in left, Cave in center, and Kepler in right. I mean, not the outfield that we imagine on opening day. How shocking to you as a bench? Because to me, like, their biggest strength coming in was that depth, right? Like, mm-hmm. they've built this depth. Was it just invisible depth?
Yeah, I don't know what to think about it. I mean, they still have pieces like Astudillo is a good depth piece, but he's been in the lineup too much. You know, Garlick is a good depth piece, but he's been in the lineup too much. You know, I thought Cave would rebound. Nope. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just go back to, like, it was hard to see. It was hard to predict this depth falling through as hard as it has. In terms of what the front office like saw coming into the season, I can see what they were thinking, at least in terms of the lineup. It turned out to be fake depth, but I guess everything just kind of came crashing down at the same time. I'm not really even sure how it could have been avoided.
I think the offense, in my opinion, has been the exact same in most respects as 2020. Like, they'll have those breakout games. Most of the time, they'll score two or three runs. E-Ray played way too much last year, as did Marwin. It's the same thing you're describing with Garlick, Cave, and Astudillo. It's the same thing. You know, it's the same stars and scrubs look that they had in 2020. The biggest difference has been, I want to talk about Nick Gordon too here in a second, but the biggest difference between this year and last year is the bullpen saved them last year so many times. I think the schedule helped a ton, obviously, that they only played central teams. But their bullpen has been the difference to me. I think the rotation last year was better to this point, certainly. I mean, they were 20-10, Cody, after 30 last year. Rotation was better, but the bullpen was outstanding. what is your reaction right now to watching this bullpen?
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. I mean, one of the best guys has been a $2 million pickup that was DFA'd by the Angels in Robles. And I mean, everyone else, it's like, what? I just get so frustrated watching some of these guys because it's like, why do we keep throwing them out there? They have all these guys they picked up off of waivers that are just sitting in AAA. Now, maybe they have some grand plan for each one of them and they're not ready or whatever. But like Brandon Waddell, why have we seen Brandon Waddell so many times? There's guys down there that you can give a shot to, you know. There's Sean Anderson. You don't even have to give up a 40-man spot for Sean Anderson. Let's see what he's got at this point. Just throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. Can it go worse, I guess, is my kind of question in their decision-making for the bullpen.
Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like the Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added the baseball to the platform. So check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. Speaking of giving guys a chance, flipping back over to the infield, Nick Gordon makes his debut today and looked really good, I thought, stealing a couple bags. Did we see enough from Nick Gordon today to supplant Jorge Polanco at second base, or is it too soon to declare that Gordon's going to get a lot of playing time for the Twins this year?
Yeah, what do you have, like two hits? So yeah. Probably. Yeah, so that might be enough.
Polo did rip in his defense today, and he pinch hit, but it went to someone, as always happens with the Twins. But
Yeah, classic. There you go. But, I mean, yeah, I think it's quickly turning into a situation where guys like Nick Gordon should get that chance, because they just – I mean, he's been a talented player. We have plenty of guys like him in the minors. Maybe not that have been known as long as him. I got to admit, I kind of gave up on him myself. I thought he was kind of a player of the past. You know, I think past regime guy, didn't think he really had a huge shot on the Twins. But, I mean, more power to him. If you're bringing up guys like this and they're playing with heart, the heart that we haven't seen for most of the season from a lot of these guys, leave him in there. Like, let's give him some run. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and this is my fear for this year, Cody. My fear is not 50 to 60 wins, because when you have 50 to 60 wins, you can make some deals. You know, you can cash out on some players that are on 1-year deals. Like, my biggest fear is every sports fan's biggest fear, and that's mediocrity, right? We're 4 or 5 games back of first place all year. We're a game or two out of the wild card spot. We're going to give some guys some chances, but we're still going to play Garlic and Cave and all those guys. And you know, we're going to win about 50% of our games this year. That is my fear. And to me right now, that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah. I actually joked about that the other night on Twitter. I said, the Twins are going to, just when it's too late to find themselves back in contention, they're going to pick it up and heat up enough just to not get a good draft pick and not be able to make any trades.
No, that's what happened. And I know you're a big Vikes fan too. This reminds me a little bit of the Viking season, right? Where they have really good the expectations for this team, I think, were higher than the Vikes this year.
Yeah.
Really good pieces at the top end. Eric Kendricks, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, same thing, right? And not a lot of depth, a lot of holes, bullpen holes, you know, offense in the bottom of the lineup holes. And the Vikes finished 7-9. And that's my biggest fear for this club, you know, is finishing around 500 and winning like 83 games and just missing the wild card game and losing the division to the White Sox, which would be just horrendously bad. What do you think's the key here, Cody? Like, what are they? And I know neither of us get paid to find out. neither of us get paid to make these moves. But what do you think needs to be done? And I think I'll give my opinion too, maybe.
Yeah, man, that's super tough. I don't know. I just think it starts with bringing up guys like Larnick. I think it starts with bringing up pretty much whatever young arms that are available to replace some of these guys that, you know, you can just inject some life into the team. The team looks lifeless. They need something to get some life going. And I don't really know how else they could do that. I mean, I guess the other thing that I'll say is I think Matthew Taylor posted a piece the other day about trade targets for the bullpen. And my first thought, going back to that isn't necessarily, oh, we need one arm that'll fix this bullpen. It's, hey, like, we're going out and getting somebody. We still believe in this team. Bring in a guy that can help you win games. You know, it might bring everyone else up a peg. Something like that was something that crossed my mind as well.
Well, why not? Why not Dakota Chalmers? Why not? I don't know, Matt Cantorino. Like, but yeah. I think they're still at a point now where they're, and this is the fear, right? You're getting stuck in this middle where you're like, well, we want them to blow games for us, but you know, we'll get it to a veteran who might just be a fraction better, but he's more sure. Like, we're more sure of Hanzar Robles or whatever. And honestly, like Robles, he'll at bat, everything's different. Like, he's wild, and then he can throw strikes, and then he's wild again. I think he has good stuff, but you've seen $7.5 million invest into this bullpen in Coleman Robles.
Yeah.
So far, it's been a disaster. You know, I think I agree with you. And guess who their life was? Alex Kirilloff, right? And that's where this comes in. They were their infused. They went 4 out of their last 5. It feels like they're turning the corner a little bit skeptically. We're skeptically watching these games like, ooh, I don't want them to pull me back in, right, to break my heart again. But that's part of the bad luck here, too, is like Kirilloff slides into second base, and now he's got to see two wrist specialists, you know?
Yep.
And when these things kind of steamroll and they come one after another, it just sucks. And then I start to get into this really deep, dark place. And I don't want to talk about it, but you get into these deep, deep, dark places. I think it needs to be discussed. Of, oh my goodness, is this the end of the contention window? You know, is this where we're going to see failure of signing Kepler to the long-term deal, Polanco to the long-term deal? Nelly is gone, all but gone after this year, especially if this team's not competing, you know? Is the you're still stuck with the Donaldson contract for 2 years. And, you know, as much as I love JD, that hurts the payroll books, right? And it's just one of those things where I start to fear the worst here. Are you in that spot? Are you still – you know, hesitant to go there?
I'm as negative as I am in general this year. I honestly don't mind our chances for next year. I see the window closing for this core. I don't see the window closing in general. I think next year, there's a couple things that go into it. So first of all, next year, we're probably going to see expanded playoffs, as sad as that is to jip our way into the playoffs. That's probably what a lot of teams are going to be doing. Second, we do have a lot of money coming off the books, some financial flexibility, and you would assume a lot more people are going to come out to the ball games this summer and inject a little bit of cash into the Twins' pockets to spend. And then also, I mean, a lot of these guys like Kepler, Polanco, you know, Sano, there's like near ready replacements in like AAA, AA that might be ready for next year that can become the next guys. I think there are still going to be enough guys around with Maeda, with Barrios, with Arise, even with Donaldson. I think if he's playing, I still think he's going to be good for those 2 years. Buxton, you know, guys like that. I think there's going to be enough around for the next couple of years to supplant with younger guys and free agency. Got to get the arms figured out in the bullpen, of course, but I still think that can happen.
Who would have thought we're sitting here on May 6th and we're talking about next year? I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
I'm getting excited again, though, talking about it. That's at least a good thing. I think the window's closing on the Keplers and Polancos and Sanos, but I don't think the window's closing on the Twins yet. I think a lot more of these guys that are going to be hanging around well beyond. I think they're going to be enough to keep the team buoyed for the next wave of guys coming up.
Yeah, and I just – you got to hope that the health has got to come back, you know. And
optimistically,
Louis should – hopefully it's just the week on the concussion list, you know, and he's back soon. He's such a spark plug for them and, again, just lengthens that lineup. But they – you're right. They have – and that's why it's so frustrating, right? It's just so frustrating to watch these guys. Because if Sano was 10% better up to this point, if he just had one or two more hits in big spots, if Kepler just had one or two and didn't, you know, get COVID and was out for weeks, you know, just one or two more percentage points, honestly, would it improve the outlook so much? I hold out hope, but like of those three, Polanco, Kepler, and Sano, who are you most optimistic can still be a productive player?
People are going to hate this one. I got to go with Sano. Personally, only because his glaring flaw right now has always been his glaring flaw. And it also turns into his kind of strongest asset is he he just goes so cold and so hot. Now, granted, this has been a long time that he's been cold.
Yeah.
But I guess just at his age, 27 or whatever, I still think that if he keeps getting regular at bats, we'll see if that happens. But if he keeps getting regular at bats, I would expect him to rebound again and at least go on like a month or two long tear where he's one of the best hitters in baseball. He can do that. I just look at Kepler and see a deeply flawed hitter who pulls everything, can't ever hit a lefty. I see Polanco, and I just don't believe in his ankle anymore. I'd think his ankle is just kind of shot at this point, as sad as that is. And that's kind of why I got to go with Sano, which is probably the common fan's least favorite answer there.
It is, and people like to pick on Miguel too, and I get it, but I mean, for me, it's been Polo. You know, it's just been how special he was in 2019, in the first half, remember that it was the first half. Let's finish with a manager discussion here, Cody. So much fun. And let's listen into the game today, because personally, I did not like that he pulled Michael Pineda after six with kind of pitches, because listen, if you have a good bullpen, I'm all for it. If you have 2020 bullpen with, you can bring in Clipper in the seventh, you can bring in May in the eighth, and you bring in Hodge in the ninth or Duffy in the ninth based on matchups, 100%, man, I'm in. If you got righties coming up, you go to Sergio or Whistler, like so many weapons and options there last year. Not with this group, not with this group. What was your thought?
Yeah, I think in Pineda in particular, that kind of puzzles me, because you're not talking about Barrios, who's around next year. You're not talking about Maeda, who's around next year. You're not talking about a young guy. You're talking about Michael Pineda on the last year of his deal. Worst case scenario, he maybe overextends himself. You put him on a short IL trip and you call someone else up. I agree. Like, in general, that's kind of how Rocco's operated. And, you know, the whole rest and recovery thing seems to have gone out the window with guys like Donaldson and Cruz and guys like that. And I'm starting to wonder if that's ever going to come with the pitchers, like just the kind of conservative, you know, let's not throw 100 pitches. I mean, who had J.A. Happ on the bingo card for throwing the first 100 pitch game for the Twins this year? And it happened on like May 4th. Like, what is that? Like,
crazy.
I mean, it's just kind of, I struggle to kind of put that together and just kind of see what the thought process. I mean, I get the thought process, but at this point, everything's out the
let
window.
Let Big Mike go today, man. Like, just let him go for that. It's the He's bottom horse, of the lineup. Man. Like, you're just asking for trouble there. And I think sometimes this year, and I love Rocco Baldelli, I love what he's done. You know, this is another thing that's hard for me watching the last 2 years, to be like, ooh, I don't like what Rocco's doing. But I think he has set himself up for criticism so many times in the last 30 games. Cole Man, that situation, down a run in the ninth inning or whatever it was, bottom of the eighth. Like, so many times he's set himself up again today, sets himself up. You think he just doesn't care? You think he just doesn't care about the, like, he's going to stick to his guns and stick to the numbers like all the time. Do you think that's something that goes through his head?
Yeah. I don't think the man has a Twitter account. I'll tell you that. I don't think he cares. That could be a good thing, but I think it's probably starting to become more of a bad thing, just as kind of these decisions start to mount. I think he could use a little kick to kind of get some perspective on the season that he's watching, and just kind of be like, hey, maybe it's time to try something new.
Yep. Big series this weekend. We've been saying it every series, but big series this weekend in Detroit against the Tigers. Of course, the Tigers have scored like 20 runs the last 2 days against the Red Sox, and we're going there to play them. It's just the way that this year's set up. Cody, we'll have you on again soon, brother. Thanks so much. Sorry it took so long. No worries. Had to get you back here, though, and discuss this debacle. Thanks again, man. We'll have you soon. And where can people follow you on Twitter and read your work?
I at Cody Pirkl, P-I-R-K-L. Looks like it's spelled wrong, but it's not, on Twitter. You can find me at Twins Daily, right? Usually on Saturdays is when I usually post. So
Cody used to have a dog as his profile picture. And I remember I was like, God, this guy loves the Twins. And like, you were one of the first listeners of the podcast, I remember. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And, you know, we were talking like, how do I get involved at Twins Daily? And it's great to see, you know, how far we've come since then. But the Twins since then have been bad. Hopefully they pick it up soon. Cody, thanks again, man. Enjoy your evening, and thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, Nash.